From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Here's the 1-2. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Benoit does it again. A save here in the ninth, and the Tigers win game one in this series. The magic number falls by one.
Dalton over the top, Bernard in space. Giovanni Bernard! Bengals take the lead.
Zach Johnson will go in with the most momentum of anyone into East Lake for the FedEx Cup Championship.
Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Here are today's headliners on this Tuesday, September 17th. Rick Porcello, he struck out 10 and the Detroit Tigers beat the Seattle Mariners 4-2 on Monday night. Victor Martinez broke a one-all tie in the sixth with a run-scoring single, and Omar Infante followed with his own RBI single. Now the AL Central leading Tigers increased their advantage over Cleveland to 6 games with just 12 to play. Now Rick Porcello, who's now 13-8, allowed a run and 5 hits with 2 walks, falling 1 strikeout short of his career high. Drew Smyly got 5 outs in relief, and Jose Veras finished in the eighth. Now, Joaquin Benoit pitched a hitless ninth for his 21st save in 21 chances. Porcello struck out 11 against Pittsburgh on May 28th. Detroit right-handed pitcher Anibal Sanchez faces Seattle right-handed pitcher Brandon Marr tonight, folks. Don't miss that one. All right, Reggie Bush knee update. Reggie Bush got hopeful results from an MRI on his banged-up left knee, allowing the Detroit Lions to breathe a sigh of relief. Ah, that's nice. All right, Bush took a helmet to his left knee in the second quarter on a short pass. He turned into a 26-yard reception. He entered the game later in the first half and played sparingly in the third quarter before going to the sideline for the rest of the game. Now, the tests Monday were encouraging. That's a quote from Lions coach Jim Schwartz. He goes on to say, quote, "He's going to be sore, but he doesn't have anything that's long-term." Now, when Bush has been healthy for nearly 6 quarters, Detroit has beaten the Minnesota Vikings 34-21 and led Arizona 14-10 at halftime. Now, without playing much of the third quarter Sunday, the Lions were held scoreless offensively in the second half of a 25-21 loss to the Cardinals. Now, the Lions, who are 1-1 now, don't know or aren't saying if they expect Bush to play Sunday at Washington, or if he'll need a game to heal. Now, if Detroit doesn't have Bush in the lineup, the Lions will likely start Joik Bell and make 2011 second-round pick Mikel LeSure active for the first time this season. Now, we also want to note that Schwartz said that defensive tackle Nick Fairley, who has that shoulder injury, is day-to-day after being inactive at Arizona, and said right receiver Patrick Edwards, who didn't finish Sunday's game because of an ankle ailment, was being evaluated on Monday. All right, the Washington Nationals postponed Monday night's game against the Atlanta Braves following shootings at the nearby Navy Yard. Now, the game is rescheduled as part of a day-night doubleheader on Tuesday. This is from Nationals General Manager Rick Rizzo. He says, quote, "It's a very emotional day. An extremely horrific act happened very near to the ballpark. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all of the victims over there and all the people affected by this. We felt it was inappropriate to play a Major League Baseball game with such tragedy right down the street." Now, located just blocks from the Navy Yard, one of the stadium's parking lots was used for families of the Navy Yard employees to meet following the evacuation of the facility. The postponement of the baseball game was announced shortly after 3 p.m., about 4 hours before the scheduled start. All right, Floyd Mayweather Jr. issued an apology on Monday night for a social media post that appeared to ridicule Oscar De La Hoya for having checked into a substance abuse treatment facility. Now, De La Hoya announced last week that he would miss last Saturday's highly anticipated bout between Mayweather and Saul Canelo Alvarez to check into a rehab facility. Now, the mega fight was promoted by De La Hoya's Golden Boy Productions, promotions, I should say. The Los Angeles Times reported that a photo of De La Hoya was posted on Mayweather's Instagram account accompanied by the headline, quote, "Meanwhile in rehab," end quote, and a caption that read, "Oscar, I gave Canelo the wrong blueprint. I was high," end quote. Now, Mayweather released this statement saying, "I want to apologize to Oscar and his family for the posting. I wish him well, and I am rooting for him to win this fight, too. I also apologize to all my followers for this ridiculous post. I have no ill will towards anyone. Now, Mayweather, of course, defeated Alvarez by majority of decision Saturday to improve to 45-0. Zach Johnson played the final 31 holes of the rain-delayed BMW Championship without a bogey. He motored into the lead with two late birdies Monday and closed with a 6-under 65 for a two-shot win over Nick Watney. Now, Jim Furyk left Chicago able to celebrate only his 59 on Friday. Of the six players who have shot 59, only three went on to win. Now, the FedEx Cup points will be reset, meaning the top five only have to win the Tour Championship to capture the cup. Tiger Woods will be the number one seed, though he doesn't go there with much momentum. He closed with a 71 and tied for 11th, seven shots behind the leader. The Pac-12 Conference has officially reprimanded and issued other sanctions against the officials who worked the Arizona State-Wisconsin game for their actions at the end of the contest. The Pac-12 did not elaborate on other sanctions. If you go back to that game with 18 seconds left remaining and Wisconsin driving for a possible game-winning field goal, quarterback Joel Stive, he moved the ball to the center of the field, touched his knee to the ground, and then placed the ball on the turf. That's when chaos broke out. Officials blew the play dead, but an Arizona State player was allowed to lay on the ball for several seconds without penalty. Now, then an official took his sweet time trying to place the ball for the next play and halted Wisconsin from starting its next play. All the while, the clock continued to move and ultimately ran out before the Badgers could attempt the kick. Now, Arizona State won 32-30, so those officials are definitely in some trouble. All right, Monday Night Football. The Pittsburgh Steelers are now 0-2 on the season after Monday night's 20-10 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Steelers fell to 0-2 for the first time since 2002, done in by another game of self-destruction on offense. Now, Pittsburgh had two turnovers in scoring range and couldn't hold on to the ball long enough to give its defender a breather. His defense, a breather, I should say, failing to get a first down on 7 of its 12 possessions. Now, Cincinnati is 10 and 20, folks, in Monday night games. The Bengals have consecutive wins over the Steelers for the first time since 2009. Ben Roethlisberger was sacked twice by a defense that failed to get one against Chicago. Well, those are your headlines for today. All right, if you want to comment on any of those, call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything on your noggin. And today we are sparking the question to you all whether or not you agree with the helmet-to-helmet fines and suspensions that the NFL has cracked down on, especially this season so far. It's only week two, and we have seen helmet-to-helmet fines in situations like that of Brandon Merriweather and Deshaun Golston. Now, is the NFL being too harsh, or do you agree with the fines? Give us a call right now, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, we have a guest that is going to shine some light on a sport that not too many people out there are familiar with, well, at least in this country, right? Rugby, that's right. It is known as, quote, the greatest game of all time by rugby enthusiasts, and it's being documented that rugby has increased by an overwhelming 400%. Stephen King is a former player and coach and comes from a land where rugby rules. Joining us all the way from Australia. Yes, Australia, folks. It's past 1 a.m. there right now. They're 12 hours in front of us from here in Lansing. Now, Stephen, thanks so much for getting up early and joining me on today's show.
No problem whatsoever. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So first of all, Stephen, how did you start playing rugby? What is your roots in this sport begin?
Well, my father started playing. He played rugby league in the 50s and 60s, and it just sort of took. We went to the rugby league games in Sydney and watched the blokes and just the physical contact of it. I loved the contact and just went from there. It's just when I started playing, I had a knack for the physicality of it, let's say.
Right. That's where the addiction came, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Stephen, I got to ask you, where, and looking at just the sport of rugby, when and where does rugby has its roots?
It comes from England. It was a William Webb Ellis originally started it when he picked up a soccer ball and ran the length of the field and scored, like put the ball down for a try because he was bored with the way soccer was being played. Mm-hmm. So, and then rugby league branched off from rugby union when an injured player was refused medical assistance or financial assistance for an injury. So then rugby league broke away and became rugby league.
Gotcha. Now, you got, you know, when you look at this sport, Stephen, I just doing a little research and looking at the dynamic of the sport, looking at you guys, just what you guys wear when you're playing. You guys are really out there without any significant protective equipment. Just looks like shorts, a shirt, T-shirt, and some shoes. I mean, are there injuries? There got to be injuries all the time, right?
not particularly. There's not as many as you'd imagine. I can't really comment because in my case, I had over 1,000 stitches just in my face.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm a pretty one.
I'm sure. So you guys, other than what do you guys wear when you're out there? Is it really just shirts, a shirt and shorts, or do you guys have something underneath that to protect you guys, or is that it?
Depending on if you had an injury or not, some players wear shoulder guards, some players wear sternum pads. But if there's a specific injury, like you've torn a bicep, you might tape that. But basically, no, there's no really set pads. Mm-hmm. Or set safety equipment. Some players wear headgears, but I'll try and Americanize this for you. Like if a 300-pound man runs over the top of you, a little headgear is not going to stop much.
very, very true. That is so true. So Stephen, what kind of injuries have you had throughout your career when you were playing rugby?
Broken all my fingers at least twice. Broken arm, broken leg, fractured ribs. Broken ribs, rib cartilages, 20 or 30 concussions. As I said, I've had over 1,000 stitches in my head, dislocated shoulders.
Oh, my goodness. So with all of those injuries, Stephen, I mean, what kept you going out there each and every game and continue to play this game?
Oh, it's a legal way to hurt people.
I like that. That's a good answer. That was a good answer, Stephen. That kind of threw me off a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us to Current Sports, we are talking with a man who is all the way in Australia. Can you believe that? Stephen Kane, he has a new book, he has a book out entitled A Statistical History of Rugby League. Yes, it tells you everything you need to know about the game. Now, for those out there, Stephen, that that are trying to, you know, of course, we're in America here, so our football, our you know, aggressive sport is, of course, NFL football, college football, just the game of football in general. When you look at rugby and compare it to football, I mean, what are some of the major differences?
Well, the forward passing, for a start, we're not allowed to pass the ball forward. But I love watching the NFL. I'm a cheesehead.
Gotcha, Green Bay, huh?
Yep, go the Packers. That's the main difference. And the paddings and that you wear, the helmets. I read somewhere that they're harder than motorbike helmets. And I thought if they've got a helmet that hard, then I just can't imagine what the contact is like.
Yeah. Very, very, very true. Now, as mentioned in the intro, Stephen, I mean, the sport of rugby has grown so much over time. Why do you think this sport is just just constantly growing year by year?
I think it's because of, like I said, the physicality of it, plus the as you mentioned, the lack of protective equipment that they wear. I think it generates interest because nowadays you see like MMA sports are really taking off because, unbelievably, I think people want to see a good physical sport.
Right. Very, very true. Now, do you see this sport ever becoming big in America? What are the statistics when it comes to America kind of grasping onto the sport and its popularity? Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it will take off. There is a couple of rugby league competitions in America at the moment, and there's college rugby, as in rugby union, it's taken off as well. I don't think it'll ever take over from like the NFL or anything like that, but I think there's definitely room for an organised competition, and I definitely think that the American people would grasp it just because of, like I said, the physicality of it. And I mean, it's a very technical game to understand, mm-hmm. but I think that once the rules and the actual way the game's played, once you understand it, I think it'll take off really well.
Now, Stephen, as I just mentioned a minute ago, you have a book entitled, quote, A Statistical History of Rugby League. Now, it's being said that it is the most comprehensive collection of rugby stats ever published. Where did the inspiration to make this book come from?
I was at work and got run over by a truck and broke me back.
Really?
Yeah. And so then when I was in hospital, my brother gave me a book about, it was called The Encyclopedia of Rugby League. And I read it, and just through reading that one book that was like 16 years old, I thought, wow, this is just, it took my mind off my back and it took my mind off the pain and gave me something to do while I was basically in hospital for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it just started from there, and I started doing rugby league stats, and the more I did them, the more fascinated I got with it. And then before I knew it, I had about 9,000 pages worth of statistics.
Oh, wow. No, first of all, I got to go back, Stephen. You said you got ran over by a truck and broke your back. You're like a walking hospital, Stephen. This is unbelievable, man. My goodness.
I'm the unluckiest bloke that ever lived.
Without a doubt. That's an understatement. Now, I got to ask you now, when you talk about the book, now, is it just stats or does it go beyond that as well?
It's basically just statistics. It's it covers every player that played rugby league in Australia from 1908 to 2012.
Gotcha. Now, and also in the book's description, you talk about how there are some pretty detailed stories, I think, concerning the sport of rugby in the book. What are some of those stories detailed in that book?
There was only a few of the stories about my personal playing days, like when I moved to Melbourne in Australia when I was like 19, and I needed a rugby club to play at, and I found a club, and I think we were concentrating more on alcohol than we were on football.
Gotcha. That was second nature, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Stephen, for all those out there listening, how can they grab your book, man?
It's available online through Zalibris Publishing or Amazon.com, and the website is www.rugbyleaguestatistics.com, and that is that website will give you a link to where you could purchase the book from, and well, as I said, Amazon and xzalibris.com.
Gotcha. Well, there you have it, Stephen Kane, author of A Statistical History of Rugby League. Hey, Stephen, get some sleep, man. It's 1 a.m. over there. Thanks a lot for waking up for me, man.
No worries. It's actually 20 past 3.
Oh, my. Really? Oh, I got that wrong. Oh, my goodness. Definitely get some sleep then. Thank you so much.
No, anytime. Thank you very much.
No problem. Again, that was Stephen Kane, author of A Statistical History of Rugby League. Man, all the way from Australia, I tell you. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we return to current sports, we have lots to get to still. Again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We're talking about anything that's on your noggin. And today, we are sparking the question to you all, whether or not do you agree with the helmet-to-helmet fines and suspensions that the NFL has cracked down on this season? We've already seen a few fines and suspensions handed down. We'll also have a special Top 5 Tuesday for you all. Don't go anywhere. We got lots to talk about. Excuse me. More current sports is coming right at you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, four men in India have been sentenced to death for a brutal rape that shocked the world. But by some estimates, a woman is raped in India every 22 minutes. We'll talk with a human rights lawyer about what's changed with how India handles sexual assault and what hasn't. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight Current State's weekday stories and explore Mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to community events. Tune in Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at noon for WKAR's Current State Weekend.
Thank you. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Today's Tuesday, so you know, in the morning, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, he has his weekly presser. Alex Sharg, we sent him over there to get a few clips on D'Antonio's presser, and he addressed many things from Cook to Damian Terry to even a Pacific Go Blue sign in the air. We'll get to that in just a sec. Here was D'Antonio during that presser on Damian Terry, redshirt freshman Damian Terry.
I don't think you're there with anybody as far as a redshirt until the very end of the season or until you get past the six games because you just don't know what's going to happen. But based on his practices last week, you become limited in what you can do because of his knowledge of our offense. Because he missed the week before, he missed some summer camp. So he's got a lot of athletic ability, but he's got to be much more consistent. He's got to be much more controlling in terms of what's going on offensively. And it's not fair to put him out there in that situation because I think what you'll see is a lot of pressure coming at him. And, he's got to be able to operate under pressure better. But, he makes plays. He makes some plays, but he'll work our scout team this week and we'll travel him, and he can be functional to some degree if we need to play him, but I don't foresee playing him at this point in time. That may change, though. You never, who knows?
Yeah, so that's head coach Mark D'Antonio talking about redshirt freshman Damian Terry. Many who thought if things didn't go quite well as they did, on Saturday, that just 55-17 win that MSU had this Saturday, that possibly the red shirt of Terry could be burned and he'll go out there and play. But that's D'Antonio addressing it. He's saying, hey, still things are up in the air. The red shirt is still a possibility at some point that, hey, he could be sent out there if these quarterbacks don't, relay consistent play. Right now, Connor Cook is the guy. He's the man. He's the starting quarterback for MSU's football team. It's his job to lose at this point. And Mark D'Antonio also addressed the play of Cook.
Well, I think it was very important for our total team that we had success passing the football. And that was a combination of guys catching the ball, like on those 50-50 catches I talk about, or those great throws. So, again, we're growing as a football team. We've got a young quarterback in there who's a redshirt sophomore. This will be a great experience for him because he's going to have an environment to play in that's going to simulate really what a lot of the Big Ten environments are going to be from this point on. So that's going to be a period of growth for him, and I think it's a very exciting time. I want our guys to have fun down there. I want us to compete, and, Connor Cook's going to do that. I understand. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to do that. But we can't negate the fact that we've got to make plays running the football as well.
Yeah, so that was head coach Mark D'Antonio on Connor Cook and what he expects from him this upcoming weekend. Again, Michigan State, they will play Notre Dame this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Connor Cook will be the starting QB. He is the number one guy right now for this team. And I tell you what, when you look at this game, they're finally playing an opponent that they can finally measure themselves against. This will be a measuring stick game for this team. So that was Mark D'Antonio on what he expects from Connor Cook. And you know what? Something very interesting. When I was heading to that game on Saturday's game, I grabbed my gear, I grabbed my camera, and near the Comarts building, I looked up in the sky, and I saw something. It was just really, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it, to tell you the truth. It was Go Blue. Go Blue, the letters Go Blue were written in the blue sky. Apparently, an airplane had flown over MSU's campus and wrote Go Blue in the sky. I could not believe it. I actually took a picture of it. I have yet to post it. I'll post it later on our Current Sports Facebook page and also my Instagram page. But I couldn't believe it. And Mark D'Antonio, he also addressed that today, people.
Yeah, my high school coach was here. And, they're the Blue Devils, so I figured somebody did that for him. A lot of money to do that if you're from Zanesville, but they did it.
So, yeah, he briefly addressed it. We all know where that came from. But, yeah, that takes a lot of money for it to hire a plane and go up there and to write out the letters Go Blue. It was huge. It was really, props. Props to whoever did that because it was very creative, to say the least. All right, I believe we have a call. Mindy on line one. Mindy, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Thank you so much, Al. I love your show. I listen every day.
Oh, thank you so much, Mindy. Appreciate that.
Gonna turn back a little bit. I wanted to address the rugby segment that you did. my husband played rugby for Ohio State, and then he actually coaches Michigan State's team. He's an assistant coach there. And
wow.
My son started a rugby league for high school 3 years ago, the Capital Area Gladiators. And we had kids from DeWitt and Grand Ledge, mm-hmm. Holt, and here in Okemos, and some kids from Hazlitt.
Right.
So they all came together, and there's a lot of high school teams in Grand Rapids. Brighton, it's big. Metro Detroit, they played Detroit Catholic Central a few times.
Do they? Wow.
Yeah, and the kids loved it. I mean, absolutely loved it.
Right.
It was a spring sport. They pulled kids from football players. And just to address the injury thing, I know they get bumped up and cut up a little bit, but if they're tackling properly, which you did a show with the Lansing Lions, the youth coach.
Yeah, Matthew Brown.
He's impressive. He's so impressive.
He's great.
He talked about wrapping up the legs and tackling properly, mm-hmm. and they really, really work on that in rugby. And I thought that was interesting that he had actually said they had a rugby coach out one time to try to teach the kids. It's more about wrapping up the legs and taking them down because you want to keep the ball in play. In rugby, you can actually be tackled and kind of roll it
yeah.
you know, over, and then as long as it's in front of the guy who's tackled, they can pick it up off the ground and keep running. So.
Yeah, really, when I looked at, you know, I was just doing some research on rugby and looking at some pictures, and I looked at these guys, like, they're just out there with, you know, a shirt and shorts, and I was very impressed with that. That takes, you got to be tough to play that sport,
well,
I see.
And my son is only, he was like 5'9", 130 pounds, so I was terrified to have him.
I'm sure.
But there's different positions. The bigger guys are in different positions. They're out front. And, you know, for the scrums and the, and I'm not good at this. I still don't know who mm-hmm. does what. But
right.
it's a cool sport, and all I can say is, once you get addicted to it or once you get into it, it's kind of a niche sport, and the guys are fanatical about it. And it is tough, but they love it, and they love getting into it, and you are so physically involved in the game.
Right. I got to ask you, Minnie, do you think that rugby is safer than the game of football?
If it's played properly, and that's the hardest thing. I definitely don't. I know the Australian guy just completely is going to nix what I'm about to say, but in high school they have different rules than they do. In college it's a club sport, but they're really adamant about wrapping up the legs. You know, you can't just wallop somebody from behind.
Right.
They get bumped and bruised and they're sore, but also in Europe they're pretty crazy. They're so much more hardcore over there, but safer. It just depends. They don't play as long, you know,
as
football, and it's all in how big the guys are too, who are playing, and if they play by the rules, you get hurt, but you don't get as many of the knee injuries. Definitely not in rugby. It's more of, you know, the cuts and bruises type.
It's all about how you play it, right?
Yeah, and the proper training. So,
thank you so much, Minnie, for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your show. I love it.
Thank you so much.
All right, you guys take care.
You too.
Bye.
All right, that was Minnie calling and giving, just really educating us on rugby here. And I'm also joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey. They're now in the studio with me as well. And, you know, guys, when you look at rugby, like Minnie said, it's all about how you play it. And, you know, the dynamic of physical games such as rugby and football are constantly changing based on what we know about, you know, injuries such as concussions year by year. But it's really – have you guys ever played rugby before? I've never played it before.
I've never played rugby, but a lot of what she's saying makes sense. I mean, what is the sport where you think you're going to be more apt to listen to technique and follow it?
It's when you're out there with no protection.
When you're out there with no pads. You know, you are definitely going to be listening on how to do things the right way, right. more so than football, where, you know, you've got a helmet on, and that's where a lot of the problems arise, is because kids go helmet to helmet, and that creates more problems. You're not going to go head-to-head.
No.
It's certainly not on purpose.
Crazy.
You're not going to be leading with your head if you have no pads on. So.
Yeah, exactly. I can definitely see that. You're more cautious, I guess, when you're out there with no protection. But yeah, have you ever played at Alice? I never played it before.
Never played, but I have played cricket now.
It's
don't ask me why.
What does that have to
don't
do
ask,
with anything?
Well, I'm going to explain that.
I love Alex.
Don't ask me why.
Okay.
Don't ask me how I was able to play cricket, but they don't really – that's a perfect example of a sport that not a lot of people know about, but it's a lot more complex than you think along with rugby. And alongside with complex, the injuries in rugby are probably more severe than – 75% of the sports out there.
Yeah, if something happens in rugby, Matt, you just talked about you're going to be extra cautious because you're out there with no protection. But if something does happen, when you go head-to-head with somebody, it's going to be serious. And you know what? A story that really just recently came out that's a very sad story. A high school football player named Damon James. He unfortunately passed away due to helmet-to-helmet collision. He's a 16-year-old high school football player. He died in a Buffalo hospital after being knocked unconscious by a helmet-to-helmet collision in a game last Friday. This is being reported by the Buffalo News. Now, Damon James, a junior running back on the Westfield Brockton High team, he died Monday in Women and Children's Hospital of Buffalo. His parents, they expressed their gratitude to those who have supported and prayed for Damon and his family. James, his death marks the second time in less than a month that a high school player has died from injuries suffered on the field. In mid-August, DeAndre Terman, a 16-year-old junior at Creekside High School in Fairburn, Georgia, he fractured a vertebrae in his upper spinal cord during a scrimmage. Now, according to the annual survey of football injury research prepared by the National Center for Catastrophic Sport Injury Research at the University of North Carolina, where they do great work, there were 25 fatal injuries to high school football players in the U.S. between 2003 and 2013. So, guys, this is, really sad news when you hear about a high school kid who was just playing for the love of the game. Helmet-to-helmet contact happens, and an injury happens like this, and he unfortunately passed away yesterday. So it's all about being safe. Being safe, that comes first. And, the game is constantly being evolved to make the game safer. And, it's about, I really commend coaches such as that of Al Slammer, who we had on Current Sports TV, which you guys will see next week. But Al Slammer, he's one of those coaches in the area, the local mid-Michigan area, that has adopted the Heads Up football program, where they teach kids at the youth level all the way through high school how to hit, the proper ways to hit, the proper precautions to have, fitting for helmets. All that stuff is so important. Especially now, nowadays, where you see situations where, the NFL, former NFL players dealing with things such as dementia and Alzheimer's, things of that nature. It's all about being safe when it comes down to it. So, and speaking of high school football, on a more lighter note, I want to give you guys some high school football score updates, which we couldn't get to yesterday due to a packed show. But just to list some of the scores, the more notable scores in the area, Holt beat Lansing Eastern 57-22. Lansing Everett, who is now 3-0, ladies and gentlemen, 14-7 over Okemos. They actually played a Thursday game last week. Lansing Sexton beats Grand Ledge 35-0. Williamston tops Corunna 28-0. DeWitt beats Fowlerville 55-0 in that shutout. Fowler beats Dansville 38-14. Ithaca. They are just unbelievable. 56-0 against Breckenridge. Bath beats Saranac. Just a lot of blowouts here. Bath beats Saranac 40-0. And Sparta tops Waverly 35-14. And also, football's AP state rankings for high school, they came out this week. And I want to note that in Division II, Lansing Everett, as I just mentioned, they're 3-0. They're not in the top 10. They're not listed in the top 10, but did get three votes. In Division III, DeWitt sits ranked at number 2. With 46 votes, and Mason is also on that list, sitting at 6th in Division III football at 3-0. Mason also undefeated at 3-0. Lansing Sexton, 3-0. They're ranked fifth in Division Four. In Division Five, you have Portland, number two, Portland. In Division Five, and Olivet is also on that list at number nine. And Ithaca, this is no surprise here. In the Division Division Six ranking, Ithaca is ranked at the top, number one team in the state at 3-0. And Division Seven, Pewamo Westphalia, they're 3-0 as well, ranked number three. And in Division Eight, Fowler is 2-1, ranked ninth. So those are some of your high school football updates. And you guys were at Madden Alex. You guys were at the East Lansing game, right? Can you guys talk about that game for a minute?
Well, it started fast. Let me tell you, we hadn't even gotten the camera set up yet. Got to get some great shots, and right. We look at the scoreboard, and it's already 14-7.
Already.
With 10 minutes left in the first quarter.
Oh, my goodness.
So they did not waste any time putting some points on the board. Things slowed down a little bit after that, but East Lansing, they've got some talented running backs in their backfield, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, and the other thing about that game is...
And they played who? I'm sorry, I'm blanking right now.
Jackson.
Jackson, they played Jackson.
Gotcha. Jackson. And alongside with the talented running back, the fact that they scored so early in that game, but just... The fans are just wild. I mean, I remember Matt.
That's high school football, right?
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
But not just the fans there, but they were so patriotic. I mean, there was a huge USA theme from the student section. And I mean, I haven't really seen that at a lot of different high school games.
Right. Well, I tell you, man, high school football is nothing like it. They really buy it, especially the student sections. They are crazy at sometimes. But, you know, it's great. I love the atmosphere of it. How can you not? And I was at the Holt and Lansing Eastern game, and I tell you what. That 0-2 record that Holt had to start the season is very deceiving because they didn't play. The two teams that Holt played at the beginning of the season, I'm blanking on their names right now, but they were two of the top teams in the state. So they wanted to start off the season with a very strenuous schedule, and then they go into Lansing Eastern, a local team, their first local team, and they just completely just roll over. When I got there, it was kind of like your guys' game. When I was walking up to the gates, there was a touchdown being scored. Their third touchdown of the day already. Again, that final ended up being 57-22. Again, you can catch that whole high school episode as I sat down with head coach Al Slammer. You can catch that next week Thursday. And this Wednesday, tomorrow. Wow, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 6 p.m., I'll be sitting down with Morris Peterson. Of course, he was just inducted into the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame. I will be sitting down with Mo P to talk about that moment, about his career in the NBA, about his time at Michigan State, of course, winning that 2000 national championship. I'll be sitting down talking with Mo P in front of a live audience. We still have a lot of seats left for you. If you want to sign up, meet Mo P and be a part of that live audience, you can go to WKAR.org. That's WKAR.org. You'll see a link there. You can click that link. Type in your name. It takes 2 seconds. Type in your name, email address, I believe maybe a phone number there, and then boom, you're signed up. Just got to arrive here at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building in Studio F. Pretty easy to find right here on the campus of Michigan State University. Again, that's tomorrow at 6 p.m. I'm sitting down with Morris Peterson, of course, a Spartan Hoop legend. He got his number retired back in the day, and that should be a very interesting conversation. All right, guys, well, we still have a lot to talk about and get to. We're going to take a quick break, then come right back. Again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We are sparking the question to you all whether or not you agree with the helmet-to-helmet fines and suspensions that the NFL has cracked down on, especially this season so far. Also, we have a pretty cool Top 5 Tuesday for you. Don't go anywhere, Current Sports. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Linda Ronstadt talks about her singing career. She's written a new memoir. Ronstadt recently revealed she has Parkinson's disease and can no longer sing. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. All Oh, man, we are grooving on today's current sport. What is that, the Bee Gees here? Is it the Bee Gees? Or am I wrong? I don't know. Aaron doesn't even know. All right, welcome. Is that the Bee Gees? Matt knows. Okay. We are grooving today on current sports. We have lots to get to. Before I get into the fines and suspensions handed down, by the NFL in these recent days, I also want to just highlight really quickly an interesting story coming from the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions coach Jim Schwartz strongly denied a Fox Sports report that defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh had been menacing to his teammates in practice, occasionally stomping players and even slamming their heads to the ground. Interesting stuff here. Schwartz said, quote, "I can say unequivocally he has never slammed anybody's head to the ground or stomped on anybody. That's just inflammatory stuff. It gets headlines and it gets reaction. But I would bet you the guys would have reported that long before a guy that's never been to one of our practices reports it." So on Fox pregame show Sunday, NFL insider Jay Glazer cited, quote, "people inside Detroit," end quote, saying that Sue's practice behavior has been an issue. So interesting stuff right there about Ndamukong Suh in practice reportedly slamming teammates' helmets to the ground. And I don't believe that, guys. I don't think a grown man, especially in the NFL, would let another grown man just slam his head to the ground in practice. I think that'll be a fight. I think we'll hear about it.
Yeah, and if, you know, and the coaches would probably be doing something about it too. You know, it's ridiculous, and it would only happen to Sue. That story would only come out about Sue, that people would pick it up and believe it, and it would be front page news. It is inflammatory. It's getting a little ridiculous. I mean, the pellet gun story too about the cable guy who was in his yard.
Yeah.
Like, that's not news.
Not
but
at all.
Since he has this ridiculously bad reputation, which he is at fault for, definitely.
Yeah,
he made his own bed, but at the same time, it's getting out of hand. That's ridiculous.
It is. I couldn't believe it when I read it. I'm like, are you serious? We've heard Sue's name a lot these past few weeks. But again, I mean, we talk about the pellet gun story. I think any grown man, if I'm in my house and I look out my window and see another just random guy in my backyard, and I have a pellet gun, I'm going out there with that pellet gun and seeing what's going on. You know what
right.
I mean? I don't know. I think I totally agree with you on that. I think these are just stories. People are picking at Sue now. They're poking the bear right now, and I think this story is really ridiculous. Again, that was reported by NFL insider Jay Glazer saying that he got it from, quote, "people inside Detroit." So I don't know who he's talking to, but I think it may be a load of crap. I don't know. All right, well, let's move on really quick. I want to go to this Deshaun Golston story. The NFL announced Monday that it has suspended Tampa Bay Buccaneers safety Deshaun Golston without pay for this week's game against the New England Patriots, quote, "for a flagrant and repeated violation of NFL safety rules prohibiting hits to the head and neck area of defensive players." Now, Golston was penalized for Sunday's hit on New Orleans Saints running back Darren Sproles, his fifth violation for unnecessary roughness since 2011. Now, Golston can pursue an expedited appeal within 3 business days. If not, he will be reinstated on September 23rd. Now, the suspension will cost Golston 1 game check worth of, wow, that's a lot of money for 1 game, $264,706, which is 1/17 of his $4.5 million base salary. It's got to be good to be an NFL player, I tell you. All right, Merriweather, just moments after the NFL announced that it has suspended Buccaneers safety Deshaun Golston for 1 game following his repeated helmet-to-helmet violations, the league reportedly has determined that Redskins safety Brandon Merriweather's hit that knocked out Packers running back Eddie Lacy out of the game Sunday was not suspension-worthy, according to ESPN. Now, while Merriweather, who knocked himself out of the game later in the contest after leading with his helmet while tackling running back James Stark, will be fine, he likely avoided the suspension because he doesn't have the same history of violating the league's rules as Golston does. Now, Golston has 15 personal foul penalties since 2010, the most in the NFL. Merriweather, though, has paid his share of money to the league's pot for fines. As ESPN points out, Merriweather was fined $50,000 for his hit on Todd Heap in 2010 and was fined a total of $45,000 for incidents in 2011. So, interesting stuff. You know, Aaron just brought up a good point. I mean, why doesn't he get the attention that Ndamukong Suh does?
Exactly. Where's his reputation?
Exactly.
What's he doing with his cable guy that we haven't heard about? You know,
right,
like, come on.
Right.
Come on.
I don't know, man. I think, you know, he's in Detroit. You know, they get that bad boy rap, and, you know, I don't know. That's a very good question. But, guys, what are your thoughts on it? Because, I mean, we've seen – it's only week three now. We're entering week three in the NFL season. And we've seen, you know, many fines and many precautions taken by the NFL. And reasonably slow. You know, when I break this down, though, I think the NFL, when you look at it, is really starting to regulate these helmet-to-helmet hits because of the settlement that just happened, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at this settlement, you know, of the with $765 million that they're reportedly allocating to more than 18,000 retired NFL players, they're trying to cover the back now because they know that if they do, you know, just let this slide and let these incidences take place without any repercussion, it's going to bite them in the butt later on down the line. So I think that's why they're so harsh. And I think sometimes watching a few games this past weekend, I think they may be taking it a little too far. I mean, if you even look like you're leading with your head, I feel like they're going to call a flag or something like that. I mean, it's crazy now. I don't know. What do you guys think about it?
The thing is I want to hear from Matt first. Go ahead, Matt.
So wow. You get Matt the floor.
No. Right.
Okay. You know, you were talking about heads-up football at the high school level. Mm-hmm. If you want high school kids to learn the right way, they probably shouldn't be watching guys on Sundays leading with their heads and knocking guys out of the game, because that's how you want to play. You want to have, you know, the biggest hit of the week. Oh, he crushed that guy. That's the stuff, you know, that's the kind of things that people pay attention to. It has to start from the top down and the top levels of football, which is the NFL. And as far as Goldson's suspension, warranted. You know, the number of penalties he's had since that's a lot, and that is a pattern of behavior that you have to address. And yeah, it might be a little overboard now, but it's going to be an adjustment period. The only way to stop these guys from doing it is to crack down like this, and then maybe you get changes further on down the line. Maybe by week 15, this isn't as big of an issue. It's going to be rough at the beginning of the year just because guys have to adjust to a new way of playing,
right?
Especially the defensive backs, because, right. I mean, we've seen offenses explode going over the middle because they know they can.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Defenses
yeah.
are going to have to figure out some other way other than just absolutely destroying guys over the middle to stop that kind of play, because, you know, offenses are going to attack it because it's an advantage given to them by the rule book. Defenses are going to have to figure out a new way to play, and I think for the first few weeks it's going to be a rough transition, but sooner or later things are going to start to even out again.
Right. And I think rightfully so. When I look at this, I just hope my concern, and I'm all for it. I mean, we talked about it on this show in the past. I mean, you know, weekly, I think. I just hope it doesn't make the game a little bit too timid. And I think if you're gonna talk about this helmet to helmet, I think it strictly has to just be helmet to helmet, because I've seen some plays this past weekend where guys, if you even lead with the helmet, they're calling it. Even if it's helmet to chest, they're
right.
calling it now. And I'm like, hold on, I thought this was just a helmet-to-helmet rule. Helmet-to-chest is perfectly fine with me, you know what I mean? But helmet-to-helmet, I think that's when you talk about concussions getting in. I just hope that it doesn't change the game of football so much that we see a vast drop of physicality in it to the point where it becomes like, okay, you know what I mean? It becomes too soft, to be
right.
honest with you. So
that's a good point. And the reason I wanted Matt to go first is if we had the technology that's already being pushed by the Big Ten Conference. If you remember, we talked about, I think, briefly on the show, there's that new device that monitors what the extent of a head injury is the moment after the impact. You can go to the sidelines, see the extent of a head injury right after the impact. Now, if technology came into play and solved this entire problem, would we still even need to make an amendment with head first?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I think we're a long way from that technology being adopted into the NFL.
I don't know, though. You say a long way?
I don't
so
think
So you're saying
happen.
As soon as we have the technology in place, the problem will be solved? Well, how will it be solved?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm asking
it would allow us to learn more about it, but I don't think it will be solved.
What I'm asking is, if the technology was prevalent in the next 5 to 10 years, and you could monitor head injuries, you could stop them, limit them, would this conversation still be about going head first?
Well, I don't know.
How do you stop them?
No. It's not about stopping them. It's about limiting it. Because you can't stop it.
I still don't know how you're limiting it, though.
Well,
with the technology.
What does that technology actually do?
The technology,
do? That's what people
the
like
moment after
know.
The impact, a player can go to the sideline and have his head injury, whatever it is. So it's not stopping the injury. It's
just analyzing the injury.
It's analyzing and monitoring it. So in case an injury happens again, the injury can be prevented instead of a long-term thing, because we've seen players talk about, oh, I've had 10 concussions. They come out this year and say, oh, I've had 8 to 10 concussions I didn't even know about.
Well, I think from that standpoint, I just think when you talk about the technology, I think it's just analyzing what happened to the guy on the field. I mean, as far as preventing it, I mean, it's still not preventing the hit in any way. It's just showing – it's kind of acting like a doctor.
Right. Well, it's not preventing the hit, but if you look into concussions a little bit and do research, a lot of the concussions are caused because they don't have any attention drawn to them and they drag out long term. People don't realize they have concussions until weeks later, and then the concussion takes serious effect. With the new technology, it limits the length of the injury, so you can tender the concussion right away. There's no long term damage from the concussion.
Well, I think to alleviate this problem, I don't think technology is going to do it. I think pocketbooks are going to do it. I think, taking money out your pocket is going to do it. I think that'll make people have a second guess, players out there to say, hey.
It's definitely a deterrent.
Oh, yeah. I think if you're taking out.
That just cost me $50,000.
Exactly. Yeah. It's caused, $264,000. I think that raises eyebrows to say, okay, I need to change some habits here. Again, if you got any comments on this, 517-355-9527. That's right. I'm talking to you. Pick up that phone, 517-355-9527. We're taking your calls right now on that. Other stories, pretty interesting stories that I just want to highlight really quick. Nebraska coach Bo Pennelly, he apologized Monday. This guy can't win these past few days. I tell you, he apologized Monday for a profane rant from 2011 in which he criticized, quote, fair weather Cornhusker fans. The website Deadspin posted the two-year-old audio of the Cornhuskers coach going off on fans and newspaper reporters after the game. Now, Pelini's problematic Monday came on the heels of yet another brutal loss for the Huskers. UCLA, I caught that game, wiped out an 18-point deficit in Lincoln and beat Nebraska 41-21 on Saturday. The tape caught Pelini speaking off air with Husker Sports Network play-by-play man Greg Sharp before his post-game radio interview following Nebraska's win over Ohio State in October of 2011. Pelini had been criticized by fans and media in the days leading to the Ohio State game for the Huskers' performance the week before in a 31-point loss at Wisconsin. Now, in the audio, Pelini repeatedly uses an expletive to refer to what he calls fair weather fans. So, Bo Pelini just got it. Sometimes you just gotta learn just to shut up sometimes, right? That's one of those cases. Also, for all of you NBA fans out there, Kobe Bryant, the big question for the Lakers and one of the biggest questions for the next season period is when Kobe Bryant will return. Now, Bryant has been aggressively rehabbing his torn Achilles after surgery last spring in typical Bryant fashion. Kobe said that in recent days, his Achilles feels really good, but that he's not sure if he'll be ready for the season opener. So it's being reported that Kobe will miss the preseason. No surprise there. I think it's going to take him a while to come back from that.
You think he'll come back from that injury and play well?
That's the million-dollar question right there, brother. I do think that Kobe Bryant will come back from the injury. He will play. Will he be effective as he was in the past? No. An Achilles injury, I mean, that's got a lot to do with your, how you come off that first step, your explosion, your lift off a jump shot. That's going to take a hit now when you talk about, looking at other Achilles injuries that have happened in the past, when you talk about the NBA, I mean, they've not fared so well. They've ended a lot of careers, to be honest with you. So I think Kobe Bryant will come back and play. Will he be the Kobe Bryant of, of last season? Because he had an MVP-type season before he got injured, to tell you the truth. He won't be that same Kobe, I think.
I picture Kobe just finding ways to score without necessarily having the drive, because with the Achilles, he can't go up anymore.
No.
Down the lane.
No crazy dunks.
He couldn't even do that the last few years anyway, though. It's not like
he did have that one crazy dunk.
No, exactly. He had one crazy dunk. It's not like Kobe of old where he's soaring. He's been so crafty over the last 5 years probably anyway. He'll find a way to reinvent his game. If there's one guy who can do it, it's Kobe. But, I mean, Achilles injuries. I mean, we saw Kalen Lucas at the college ranks, and he's, a 22-year-old.
Exactly.
And it really hurt his game.
A lot.
But, I mean, Kobe, obviously, he's much older.
Right.
But I think he's too much of a competitor to let that.
Yeah,
he's not going to end his career on that kind of note.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like, if you look at Jordan, when Jordan started to get older, I mean, there was the air had kind of, let loose in Air Jordan. He became, more of a, a mid-range game type of player. That's when the MJ fadeaway started, and he started to reinvent himself in that regard. So I think Kobe will be back.
I don't think he'll be as effective as he was, though. So we'll see. So he's going to miss the he's going to miss all the preseason. There's still doubt on whether he will be ready for the opening night, which will be October 29th versus the Los Angeles Clippers. All right, well, man, time is certainly flying here. Top 5 Tuesday, guys. This is a pretty cool Top 5 Tuesday. And we also posed it to you guys to weigh in on this Top 5 Tuesday if you went to Current Sports, our Facebook page, currentsports.com/currentsports. We don't have a website. Facebook.com/currentsports. I'm thrown off here right now. We're listing our, in light of the, there's a lot of video games coming out. It's video game season, if you will. It's about to be October. I know 2K comes out. NBA 2K comes out next month. Madden 25 came out earlier this month, I believe. Grand Theft Auto hit the stores at midnight. And I saw on Instagram some of the pictures that people were posting about the lines at Best Buy and some at Meijer. I mean, these lines were redonkulous, guys. It was crazy. People were just waiting in line to get that game. I want to get it myself. But in light of that, we've decided to have our Top 5 Tuesday segment on the Top 5 sports games, sports video games of all time. Yes, there are many and many of them. I mean, the list could go on and on, but we're going to list our Top 5. Matt, go ahead, man. You kick it off.
This is probably the toughest Top 5 I've ever had to do.
Really? It is
tough. I'm a big sports gamer, so it's tough to, you know, whittle it down to 5.
Right.
I guess I'm just going to go with the 5 that I have, you know, lost the most hours to.
That's good. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, so we'll go, we'll start out with NBA Street Volume 2.
Oh.
Way back for the PlayStation 2.
Love that game.
Super fun game.
Yes.
Arcade basketball at its finest.
Yes.
Then I'm going to go, let's go to NHL 12.
Okay. I was a huge NHL gamer.
There's no better game to just, like, pick up and play with a friend than NHL. Like, you can jump right in, and you're both at a relatively even level, and you can have fun with it.
Right.
Even if you stink, it's still fun.
Right.
Tiger Woods 2012 with the Kinect, so you can you just shout at your TV. It kind of devolves into you yelling putt preview at your TV for a while. But once you get past that, it's really
the
fun.
The putt preview was kind of hard
putt
to bring
preview.
Up
preview, come on. Tiger, putt preview.
You know, the putt preview to me was always kind of like cheating. If you just follow that line and hit it with the right amount of speed, it's going in.
It's going in. Those games are way too easy.
Way too easy.
When you can put spin on the ball as it's in the air, it's like, come on.
Right.
Let's get
exactly.
real. Tiger can't even do that. Okay, moving on. NBA 2K either 11 or 13. They're both great. 2K 11 was the Jordan one.
Yeah.
I love 2K 13. I play way too much of that game.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many I've listed here. And then I'm going to go with the tie for number one, I guess. I'll go Madden 2005.
Okay.
And then NCAA 2006. Basically the same game because NCAA is just Madden from the year before.
Both EA Sports, right?
EA Sports. Yeah. Madden 05 was the hit stick year.
Oh,
it was
man.
After the year where Vic was on the cover, where you could score like 80 points in a game easily.
Right. Vic was a creative player on that game.
Oh,
they made
gosh.
Him ridiculously
fast.
It was cheating playing with him.
Bo Jackson at quarterback.
Right, exactly.
It was ridiculous.
Exactly.
Guy was unstoppable. But yeah, those are my top five.
Okay, that was a great list. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going on a quick 5. I'm doing some throwbacks here and a couple of creative games. Number 5, NFL head coach. I just thought that was the first game that really stepped outside the box.
I never played that one.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. But yeah, I think that's just a sports game that kind of thought outside the box, went more towards the back end of the game.
Strategy.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, strategy.
Yeah,
I'm all about the strategy. Number 4, I have Mario Tennis, just because that was the throwback back in the day. It's not strictly EA, but just I remember the popularity of that game when it first started for Nintendo 64. That was big.
Right.
Number 3 for me, NBA Hangtime. I don't know if any of you have
ever played
it.
I never played that one either. No.
Number 2, Wayne Gretzky Hockey 98.
Well, that's a solid game.
Classic game for me. And number 1, it's amazing that it had to unfortunately stop selling, MVP Baseball 2004.
Oh, that was great. Yeah,
honorable
mention
for me.
One of my favorite games.
That was great.
Definitely.
So much fun.
It was. All right, guys. Well, here's my list. For me, I got to put at 5, NBA Jams. NBA Jams was kind of like the first arcade basketball game that really took off. I mean, the net catching on fire, the ball catching on fire, it was a great game. 4, I got to go with the Tony Hawk franchise. I mean, Tony Hawk's games just made me want to go out and, you know, someone, a black kid in Detroit, we don't skateboard like that, but, you know, that made us want to skate, gave us hope out there, man. And, you know, he really got me into skateboarding for about a year. NBA Live, I got to go with NBA Live because NBA Live to me was the first NBA game I fell in love with. NBA Street Volume 2. Of course, Matt, you just talked about that. I spent hours. I still play it sometimes. My boy has it, and he has a PlayStation 2, and we still go at it sometimes just for fun. It's one of those games that's timeless. Number one, the Madden franchise. Madden revolutionized sports video games forever. And it was one of those games. That was the very first sports video game I ever played in my life. And, you know, a lot of love for that game. And honorable mention, of course, the Tiger Woods. I forgot all about Tiger Woods until you brought up that the game on the Wii. Great, great franchise the Tiger Woods has there. All right,
wait,
guys.
Al, you stopped what? After a year of skateboarding?
I did, just a year. I sucked at it. I'm like, skip
Al
this.
Hawk?
Al Hawk. Al Hawk didn't last long, I tell you that. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lufke, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Stephen Kane for joining me all the way from Australia. Hope he's getting some rest now. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. And WKAR FMHD3 East Lansing, as always, take care. Have a fantastic day. And yes, be easy, people.